This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome, everyone, to the Believe in Bingo podcast. Yours truly, Solomon Wilcox. And right now, we're joined by PFF, R&D, and of course, the big salary cap analyst for PFF, Brad Spielberger. The big brain is joining the athlete on this show. Brad, how you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. I appreciate you having me.
Well, it's always great to have you. Look, we got to start with breaking news right here on the Believe in Bingo podcast. T. Higgins, Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver, is demanding a trade. They have put the franchise tag on him, which would have paid him, what, $21.8 million for the upcoming season. I think the first question is, if the Bengals were inclined to trade T. Higgins, what could they potentially get for T. Higgins?
Yeah, I think to me, it's probably like it starts around Arizona's second pick in the first round at 27. And there's a bunch of teams, like you have Carolina at 33, New England at 35, I guess it would be like right in that range, a very, very late first or maybe very early second round pick. And then, of course, you know, if it's later on, maybe tack on a day three as well. I think it's in that range. Very, very good player, but it is a phenomenal draft class at wide receiver, as we all know. And that's made it a challenge for some of these veterans when these teams sit there and go, I could probably draft a kid in the third round that can come in and be a starter right away.
T. Higgins, very young, what, 25 years old, has played four seasons in the National Football League. He has a 63.8% catch rate when targeted over the course of his career. Now, that's a high volume. 81% of his catches, he's got 257 career receptions. Roughly 81% of those have translated into either a first down or a touchdown. What is the projected salary if the Bengals were trying to sign into a long-term deal, or if they trade him? The other team is going to have to sign him to a long-term deal. What are the projections there for him long-term?
Yeah, for me, it's 24, 25. Maybe, you know, once you get the added trade leverage, maybe you get into $26 million a year, because we have seen, obviously, a lot of examples of where once you trade a guy, or really once you trade for a guy and you give up a first-round pick like I'm talking about, that guy has a lot of leverage over you in those extension conversations, because you've already invested a ton in that player. So, yeah, I think 24 is probably a floor, and you want to go up from there on a new deal with Cincinnati or elsewhere. And I just think the Bengals are sitting there saying, you know, we love the player, but we're now paying Joe top of market. Jamar next offseason is going to be maybe the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL, and they got a lot of other decisions to make on defense. It's just going to be tough to pay all these guys as good as he is.
The market has been churning to see T. Higgins listed as an unrestricted free agent. I remember last year at the Super Bowl, many people were expecting him to hit the free agent market then, or maybe a potential trade. He couldn't hit the free agent market until after his fourth season. However, he thought he might get the extended contract after his third season, didn't get it. And now he expects to get it after his fourth season. And now he's not getting it. He's getting the franchise tag. In what way, shape, or form does maybe T. Higgins and his representatives have maybe a bone to pick given where they are right now?
So that was the big tell by the timing of his franchise tag. I know a lot of people talk about how he is the same agent as Jesse Bates. I don't think there's, you know, they don't carry over resentment like that from player to player. Maybe they do, but it's more so just that, look, when Bates got tagged, it was the second to last day of the franchise tag window, which is normal, right? Usually you see the teams wait. It's a 2-week window, but like 90% of the tags get picked up right at the end. Higgins was the second day the franchise tag window was open, and now reports have come out that they didn't even really exchange offers back and forth, which I want to underscore to fans. Like, that's not normal. It's very uncommon, and that's gonna frustrate an agent. I'll put it that way. When you don't even, hey, we're going to make a first and initial offer, try to get a deal done. If we can't get there, then we'll go to the franchise tag. Because, look, Jalen Johnson, Justin Madubuike, like, we've already had multiple extensions off those tags, right? So they were close. and they just couldn't. They need to buy themselves some more time. So yeah, it's not a good sign, and the trade request does not shock me at this point.
And let's be honest, because I want to get your opinion on this. Let's use Jesse Bates maybe as the example, because the Bengals did use the franchise tag on him during the 2022 season. And while Jesse Bates started every game, remember, he held out of training camp, came late, played every game, but didn't have the usual Jesse Bates kind of year, at least not like the year he had in 2023, his first year with the Atlanta Falcons. So how much should the Bengals be concerned of maybe using that tag, paying a guaranteed $21.8 million to T. Higgins, but maybe not getting the most out of him and maybe not even seeing him all of training camp?
Yeah, so I think, again, you'll get something of a holdout like that, but I would be surprised if Higgins misses any actual time. But look, you want to have that guy in camp, developing chemistry. Obviously, him and Joe Burrow know each other very well, but just being on the same page, being in sync, and I think you will see some hardball to a degree. That the new CBA did effectively get rid of like a rookie contract player's ability to hold out. It's very, very tough, but
yeah.
For a franchise tag, you cannot sign the tag and then you're not under contract, right? So you can drag that out as long as you want. So I think there's two elements here that are interesting. So first is that one. The second is when Jesse Bates goes to Atlanta, signs a big deal, the Orlando Brown deal negates the compensatory pick. So the Bengals lost Jesse Bates for nothing, right?
That's right.
Like, that is also a calculation. I know they want to chase a ring, and I get it. They should. I'm not going to sit here and say it's a bad move. They just let T play on the tag and then move on. But the smart teams that want to sustain a window and be competitive for a very long time, the Chiefs traded Tyreek Hill and have won two Super Bowls back-to-back since then. You got those tough decisions you have to make sometimes.
BetOnline remains your top spot for all of your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for 50% off your first deposit. That is a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, where the game starts.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, and when you have the quarterback that can help you overcome maybe some of the missing pieces, and I do believe the Cincinnati Bengals have that kind of quarterback, then you've got to be able to maybe, if you're going to be without T. Higgins, leverage what you can get to get better in other areas. And that leads me to this question. The Cincinnati Bengals clearly want to add more explosive speed to the offensive side of the ball around Joe Burrow. Where do they go with this first round pick? Do they lean into getting another receiver? Maybe they take T. Higgins' eventual replacement, or do they go for a Brock Bowers, who many Bengals fans seem to want?
I think first round, honestly, I go tackle before both of those. I think I really like this class. I think it lines up very well. And then secondly, because I think you can get a starting caliber receiver in the second or even third round. And I do agree with you. An element of speed, to me, a guy that over the middle can catch the ball, make guys miss in space, and run. Look, I love Tyler Boyd, one of the better possession receivers in the NFL for a long time now, underappreciated. But I mean, the lost value there was when you have Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins out wide, there's so much room underneath to operate. And if you had a speedster over the middle that could catch the ball and kind of, you know, manipulate angles, out-leverage defenders, and use that space to his advantage, I think it'd be huge. So, look, I mean, Brock Bowers would be a great addition too. They need a tight end on this roster. Free agency is pretty barren there. So I wouldn't hate that move either. But, you know, a guy like a Malachi Corley at Western Kentucky, or a guy that can just win over the middle and has that speed, to me, that I think is a second, third-round pick, not a first-round pick, that's what I would do.
The tackle, right tackle, or maybe another addition, right, to the interior portion or at the right tackle position on the offensive line. It's not a sexy pick, but it certainly is screaming at you for a long-term projection of being able to protect your quarterback. I want to talk a little bit more about Brock Bowers because I don't expect a tight end in today's NFL to go in the top 10, even when they're special. I think we can now look back and say when the Falcons took Kyle Pitts with fourth overall selection in 2021, one pick ahead of Ja'Marr Chase, we can look back on that and say, whoa, they should have done something different. And I do believe we're finding that tight ends, Rob Gronkowski being a second-round pick, Travis Kelce, a third-round pick, George Kittle, a fifth-round pick. We're finding that you can get great value at the tight end position and not take them in the first round, let alone top 10. Where do you see Brock Bowers going with that as a mindset?
Yeah, and I think you are seeing the NFL understand that. Sam Laporta last year, not a first-round pick either. Second, is one of the best rookie seasons we've ever seen at the position. So I think Bowers is special. I think he had a special college career. I think he is going in the – which, you know, Bengals fans get excited. Like, I think at 14 with New Orleans is where I think his – like, it really starts to heat up. And maybe a trade-up team can happen. But I agree, no top 10. Maybe the Jets at 10, I guess, if nothing falls their way. But I don't really see that. And then – you look 11, 12, 13. I think Minnesota is going to need to get a quarterback because I think Kirk Cousins is going to be a Falcon by the time he posts this video. And then Denver at 12 and Las Vegas at 13. They don't really need tight end. They also need quarterback. So New Orleans at 14, I think, is where it starts. The Colts at 15 don't really need tight end. So anyway, what I'm trying to get at is I think Cincinnati at 18 is actually going to be in the wheelhouse of where he might come off the board. I wouldn't mind it. I agree. I would use a top 10 pick, and there are some values in some years. In this class, I think the drop-off from Brock Bowers to number two tight end is a massive, massive drop-off.
Massive. It's a chasm between him and maybe the next best available tight end. I want to talk about defensive tackle a little bit because the Bengals, without DJ Reader returning to this team, he's expected to hit the market at the start of free agency. And that leaves a gaping hole in the middle of their defense, particularly when it comes to stopping the run, something they didn't do too good of a job at last year, Brad. So tell me, what does the draft look like, or is this a free agent play as the Cincinnati Bengals look to fill that void?
I think they need to make a really big push to keep Reader, frankly. I know he had the quadriceps injury. It sounds like he's been in the building every single day since then. And obviously, you want to go to your building and rehab. But it sounds like there have been kind of some good conversations there. On-off splits are noisy. You remember at PFF, like, no one suggests to look at on-off splits. There's a lot going on there. Who's the opponent? Whatever. The on-off splits with DJ Reader this past season were crazy. When he was playing versus not. It makes sense because he's a guy that can two-gap. He can get upfield if you want him to. Yeah. He can do a lot as a 0-1 tech or even kind of as a 3 tech. So that, to me, is probably the biggest priority in free agency. Like, the draft's a different thing, but there are a lot of good interior defensive linemen, Grover Stewart in Indianapolis or Sheldon Rankins in Houston or kind of a similar market tier two guys that I think Cincinnati should be calling on.
Cincinnati Bengals also look to replenish their secondary. The safety position sort of is screaming at us. It's already been reported that they're going to move Dax Hill maybe to that dime defender to the weak side when they're in their sub packages. But we see a lot of veteran safeties flooding the free agent market. Who stands out to you as someone that would fit in Lou Anarumo's defense?
Yeah, there's a ton of options, which is always good news. And obviously, you know, I thought you saw a lot of good play from Battle last year, and I think he's going to be a piece there. You know, it's interesting because, like you said, you know, you could get kind of like the overhang type role from Dax Hill and do different things. But to me, like, Julian Blackman's an interesting piece in Indianapolis again. He's fascinating to me because his first couple years in Indy, he was always the deep third free safety. And then he's a guy who in college played some nickel, played some outright outside corner, and then moved to safety. And last year, the Colts brought him down in the box. They let him cover number three receivers, do different things. He had a bunch of interceptions, a bunch of pass deflections. He was very, very good. So he's an intriguing piece to me as well. And again, that market isn't going to be super strong for a lot of those guys because supply tends to exceed demand. So I think those type of names, you know, him, Jordan Fuller with the Rams, maybe not the best fit, but a good football player. There's a bunch of guys there.
Have guys like Jordan Poyer, Eddie Jackson, have they seen their better days? Are these the guys, and even Justin Simmons, who, oh, by the way, since he came into the league in 2016, his 30 interceptions are more than any other defensive back in that time span. Have they pretty much played themselves into a role where it's going to be a one-year contract, maybe on a sub-level deal when it comes to the economics of it?
I think Jackson has, Eddie Jackson in Chicago. And look, I'm a Bears fan. I probably pay more attention to him than the rest. But he was never a guy that really wanted to run the alley and make tackles. And you get you can get away with that when you are maybe the best ball hawker in the entire NFL. Mm-hmm. When you lose that ability too and your closing speed's not quite as good and you're not physical, I think it's tough. But to me, Poyer last year was still a great player. I know he's like 33 years old, but still physical, comes down, wants to tackle. Justin Simmons, like you said, he may not be the Justin Simmons of old, but I, again, thought the tape last year. I was watching his games after he got cut, being like, why did this happen? He looks like a good football player to me, and I think the best comparison is Kevin Byard got 2 years, $15 million from Chicago. He's also 31, you know, got traded to Philadelphia last year. I still think those guys, you know, again, not to be mean to Eddie Jackson, but the rest of those guys I still think could sign decent deals.
Yeah.
Jackson, his market would be more interesting to me.
Brad, I'm going to just say this now. I want to get your thoughts on it. For me, Justin Simmons is the closest thing to what the Bengals and Lou Anarumo had in Jesse Bates. He's a guy that can roam, has great range, and the ball finds him, right? He just has a way of finding the ball, and the ball doesn't get thrown over his head. In fact, he makes you pay for throwing the ball on the third level of the defense. To that, you say what?
Could not agree more. 100%. No, he is a guy that I think you almost line up pre-snap and you're identifying the mic and then you're identifying where Justin Simmons is and trying to go elsewhere. He is still that dude. I completely agree. And like you said, the ball finds him. He also, there are a couple snaps when I was watching, like he's already driving on a player before the quarterback even has his feet set. He just knows the ball is going there. Like the instincts are off the charts.
I just believe Lou Anarumo, if he had a chance to work with Justin Simmons, it would be a perfect fit. It'd be a match made in heaven. And we'd get close to being what we had in Jesse Bates, who was a guy who was certainly a ball hawk. One last question before we get you out of here. A lot of reports are circulating that the Cincinnati Bengals will part ways with Joe Mixon. He's due a guaranteed $3 million March 18th after the start of the new league year. Some kind of decision is going to be made between now and then. What do you think is going to happen there? And will the Bengals look to dip into the draft again for another running back?
You know, I honestly think we're getting to a point where, like, we're reaching an inflection point where we're kind of getting a little bit too crazy. Look, I get the running back market is in a downward swing, and there's a plenty of data that suggests, you know, some of these veteran deals don't age very well. You have guys like Mixon and Aaron Jones and a lot of players taking pay cuts. Do I think Mixon's as good as he was when he was a second-year player? No. Do I think he's worth the cash he's owed in 2024? Yes. Like, I don't think his contract right now is a detriment to the team. Should they maybe add a third piece? You know, Chase Brown, I think, did show some flashes the end of last year. Mm-hmm. Maybe get another player in there to have a true committee. But I have no issue with the current cash owed to Joe Mixon.
Here's what I could tell you about Joe Mixon. And I don't know that Bengals fans understand this. He can run it, and he can catch it. Could be better in pass protection, let's be honest. But he has fumbled once for every 300 touches during his seven-year career. Only six fumbles in seven seasons. And we're talking a lot of carries and a lot of catches, but one fumble for every 300-plus touches. To that, you say what, Brad Spielberger?
Yeah, it's underappreciated. Because when you first said that, I'm sitting there being like, he's got to be a 300-touch guy every year, right? If not more, because the pass game volume doesn't really get appreciated. I know he's not like running routes out of the slot like a, you know, an Alvin Kamara or Christian McCaffrey, but he is a reliable checkdown guy, sure-handed enough. Yeah, like limiting the negatives is just as important as the positives sometimes.
That's right. And look, if you go look at yards from scrimmage for the running backs drafted in the class of 2017, which Joe Mixon was part of, and so was Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, Leonard Fournette, Austin Eckler, Dalvin Cook. I think he's third behind Alvin Kamara with yards from scrimmage, both rushing and receiving. So he's a well-accomplished back. And for the $3 million that he's guaranteed after March 18th, I think he's worth every penny, and I think he's worth keeping. Brad Spielberger, thank you for joining us here on the Believe in Bengal podcast. You're the best, my friend. Keep up the work.
Thank you so much. Hope the Bengals have a good week.
All right, buddy. Take care. All right, everyone. That's going to do it for this week's Believe in Bengal podcast. We want to thank PFF's Brad Spielberger. He's in charge of the research and development as well as building out salary caps for all 32 teams. All you got to do is go to pff.com to see more of his work. One final nugget on T. Higgins, who has demanded a trade as reported on Monday, around 12 noon Eastern time. Again, T. Higgins, Cincinnati Bengals 4-year wide receiver, has issued a trade demand to the Cincinnati Bengals. The projections are that he should be paid somewhere in the range of $25 to $28 million if he were to sign a new contract with a new team. If the Bengals can find a trade partner, I want you to let us know. Should the Bengals trade T. Higgins or keep him for 1 year on the $21.8 million contract, which is guaranteed to him during the 2024 season? This is going to be very interesting over the next few weeks leading up to the draft. There is a huge market, a huge demand for the services of one T. Higgins. Get this, during the 4 years that he's been with the Cincinnati Bengals, 257 career receptions. 81% of those catches have translated into either a first down or a touchdown. When targeted, he has caught 63.8% of the passes when he is targeted. This is a guy that has not only a 50-50 catch radius, but what he says is an 80-20 catch radius. He will high point the football. There's no doubt in my mind he makes the Cincinnati Bengals a better team. The Bengals need to begin to retool and rearm around Joe Burrow. Not only do they need to pay attention to the offensive lineman in the upcoming 2024 draft, but they can add a top-notch tight end like Brock Bowers. I think it would pay huge dividends, not just in the upcoming season, but into the foreseeable future for Joe Burrow. Think about it. Tom Brady had Gronk. Pat Mahomes, that's right, he has Travis Kelce. Joe Burrow needs his tight end of the present and of the future. They will not be able to hold on to T. Higgins in the long term. And that's why T. Higgins is well within his right to want to get his money now and want a trade. He doesn't want to leave the Cincinnati Bengals. He does not want to leave Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow. But what he does want to do is maximize his opportunity to cash in on a robust market that may not be great for other wide receivers, but I'm telling you, through everyone that I talk to across the landscape of the National Football League, there is a robust market for T. Higgins. We wish him well, but we also wish well for the Cincinnati Bengals to at least have him in the fold for one more year as they begin to add around the talents on offense around Joe Burrow. We also need to fill in the defensive line with the absence of DJ Reader. We want to keep him, but still add depth. But we also need a talented safety on the back end who can find the ball. Let's see if it will be Justin Simmons or maybe someone they draft, or if they sign one of the other free agent safeties that are available on the market. This is the Believe in Bengal podcast. I'm Solomon Wilcox. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.